Dear God, we thank you for our dear church in which we've been privileged to hear the good news of Jesus for these past 20 years here in this place. In the days that lie ahead for us in the future, continue to bless us with a sincere love for you and your word. Help us to listen when your word is taught and preached so that our faith in Jesus may be thereby nurtured and strengthened. May we love your house and come here as often as we can to worship you. As we come to worship you, help us to learn the way of salvation better and better, and to learn to do your will in our lives until we join you for an eternity of worship in the temple of heaven. Through Jesus Christ our Savior, amen. Hearty welcome to one and all to this special occasion, the celebration service, the 20th anniversary of the dedication of this church facility, which happened back in February of 2001. Very blessed indeed to have a house of worship in which to praise the Lord these many years, and we praise Him for that in particular this day, as well as our home worship that we do as well, in the worship home of our everyday lives. The order of service today is going to be found in your service bulletin. We begin our service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We join in the confession of sins and words of absolution. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, we freely confess that we have sinned against you in many ways We recognize that our sinful thoughts, words, and actions are offensive to you. We make no excuses for our sins, nor do we minimize their seriousness. We rely only on your grace and mercy. Declare us innocent on the basis of Christ's innocent suffering and death. Declare us perfect in every way because of his perfect life. God, our Heavenly Father, has been merciful to us and has given his only Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Therefore, as a called servant of Christ and by his authority, I announce unto you the forgiveness of all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Hark, what mean those holy voices sweetly sounding through the skies? Lo, the angelic host rejoices, heavenly hallelujahs rise. Listen to the wondrous story which they chant in hymns of joy. Glory in the highest, glory, glory be to God Most High. Peace on earth, goodwill from heaven, reaching far as man is found, souls redeemed and sins forgiven, loud our glorious harps shall sound.
Responsive reading of the 84th Psalm. How lovely is your dwelling place,
O Lord Almighty.
My soul yearns, even faints,
for the courts of the Lord.
Blessed are those who dwell in your house.
They are ever praising you.
Blessed are those whose strength is in you,
who have set their hearts on pilgrimage.
As they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs.
The autumn rains also cover it with pools.
They go from strength to strength,
till each appears before God in Zion.
Better is one day in your courts
than a thousand elsewhere.
I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God
than dwell in the tents of the wicked.
O Lord Almighty, please be seated. First of our scriptures this afternoon is found recorded in the book of Ephesians in the second chapter, verses 1 through 9. And you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Here ends the first lesson. The choir may now come forward for the singing of the first of two anthems in our service, and please note that with both of the choir songs, which are printed on the blue insert, that the congregation is invited to join in for this one on the last stanza, stanza 4 of Christ is Our Cornerstone.
Thank you.
Our second scripture reading is found recorded in the book of St. John in the 16th chapter, reading there in verses 20 to 22, verse 32 and 33. Jesus' words. Most assuredly, I say to you that you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice, and you will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will be turned into joy. A woman, when she is in labor, has sorrow because her hour has come. But as soon as she has given birth to the child, she no longer remembers the anguish for joy that a human being has been born into the world. Therefore, you now have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart will rejoice. And your joy no one will take from you. Indeed, the hour is coming, yes, has now come, that you will be scattered, each to his own, and will leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. So far, the second reading. I invite you now to stand as we confess our faith, confessional Lutheran Christians, using the words of Martin Luther's explanation to the third article, the work of the third person of the Holy Trinity, the Holy Spirit. I believe that I cannot, by my own reasoning or effort, believe in Jesus Christ my Lord, nor come to him. But the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, sanctified and kept me in true faith. In the same way he calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies the whole Christian church on earth and keeps it with Jesus Christ in the one true faith. In this Christian church he daily and richly forgives all sins to me and all believers. On the last day, he will raise me and all the dead and give to me and all believers in Christ eternal life. This is most certainly true. We sing the next hymn.
Thank you. Please rise. Grace, peace, and life be multiplied unto you through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. First, I want to send you greetings from your brothers and sisters in Christ from the two congregations that I currently serve. One is in Mapleton, North Dakota, and the other one is in Paunceford, Minnesota. And they send you their blessings, and they rejoice that together, even though so many miles away, we all share in our faith and in our celebration of the blessings that God bestows upon us. So now for our devotion for this Sunday, we turn to Luke chapter 16. Beginning at verse 19, we read this parable of the Lord Jesus, who said, "There was a certain rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. But there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, full of sores, who was laid at his gate, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. So it was that the beggar died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And being in torments in Hades, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. Then he cried and said, 'Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame.' But Abraham said, 'Son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted and you are tormented. And besides all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that those who want to pass from here to you cannot, nor can those from there pass to us.' Then he said, 'I beg you therefore, Father, that you would send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, that he may testify to them, lest they also come to this place of torment.' Abraham said to him, 'They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them.' And he said, 'No, Father Abraham, but if one goes to them from the dead, then they will repent.' But he said to them, 'If they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rise from the dead.'" Thus far our text. Please be seated. In the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who loved us and gave himself for us. Dearly beloved, who are you? Every important aspect of your life is tied in to your identity. So it's important to answer that question correctly. Who are you? You can answer that from the standpoint of your relationships. Are you a spouse? Then you're a husband or a wife. Do you have kids? Then you're a mom or a dad. Do you work for someone? Then you're an employee. Do people work for you? Then you're the boss. Are you a taxpayer? Then you're someone with pockets deep enough to help the government pay its bills. If you get pulled over on the highway, your identity will be a key part of the conversation you have with the state trooper. Who are you? Now try answering that question in the context of eternity. Centuries from now, millennia from now, who are you? Upon what would you base your answer? What your identity is in the context of eternity is one of the questions that the Lord answers in his story of the rich man and poor Lazarus. The Lord taught many parables. You may recognize some of them just from their introductory statements. A sower went out to sow his seed. A certain man had two sons. A man traveled from Jerusalem to Jericho, fell among thieves, and was left half dead. And as you consider those examples and other examples of parables taught by the Lord, what can you identify as something that makes the parable we're considering this afternoon radically different from every other parable that Jesus taught? It sets this one apart. It's one of a kind. What is it? Jesus names someone in this parable. This man has a name. Now, there's also Abraham is in this parable, and he's named too, but the focus is on Lazarus. Now, Lazarus was a common name back then, so Jesus is not talking about the brother of Mary and Martha here. So we're going to be looking, first of all, here at those two men that Jesus brings to the forefront. Rich man, Lazarus. Rich man, lots and lots of money. Lives in a mansion, has everything the heart could desire. He makes a point of everyone else knowing that. And he, you know, loves to hear their praise, and people ooh and ah as they walk through his house, and look at that, and look at this, and come on over. We're going to have a feast. Again? Yep, another feast today. Sumptuous, awesome feast. Yeah. If you were invited over to his place, you'd want to take a picture and post it on Facebook so that everyone else could see the place that you got to go to. Lazarus went unnoticed. He was very ill. He ate scraps. The highlight of his day was the relief he received from the local canine population. There's one thing that the rich people and the poor people have in common. Their stories end the same. They die. So it was. The beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. Now, some aspects of this parable are not literal, they're figurative, which is done in order to convey certain truths, like, for example, the conversation that's held between people in heaven and people in hell. That literally could not happen, but that image is used to help show different things, including what a difference there is between those two places. There are also literal images in the parable, such as Lazarus being carried by angels into heaven. This has been a source of so much comfort for the followers of Christ over the years that with these words, Jesus assures them that when a believer who is dear to you departs from life in this world, regardless of the circumstances of that, the moment they were taken, their pain and their sorrow ceased, and they were carried by angels away to be with the Lord. A key element of this parable is that when the beggar is received into heaven, he is called Lazarus. That didn't change. Though poor in body and possessions, Lazarus retained a rock-solid identity that was able to endure everything, even death. Now, where did that kind of identity come from? Better question, who gave that identity to him? Because no one can develop that kind of identity. No one can acquire that identity on their own, one that lasts into eternity. The only way we can have that kind of identity is for it to be given to us as a gift, a free gift of God's mercy and grace. And it's worthwhile to review, what are God's mercy and grace? They are different aspects of God's love. Mercy, that's God's willingness to deliver us from what we deserve. We deserve to be separated from God forever. But God is committed to do whatever it takes to rescue us and bring us close to him. Grace is God's willingness to bless us with things like eternal life, peace, and joy, things that we do not deserve. So we merit neither God's mercy or his grace, but they are real, and they belong to us because God loves us. Now, as we consider the topic of identity in the context of God's love, consider who it was who cried out from the cross, "My God, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Those words are huge. As each of us considers how to answer the question, who are you? Thanks to Christ, you are a child of the loving Heavenly Father. That is who you are, before and above everything else. That identity will carry you through the here and now, all the way into and throughout eternity. Now, today we've gathered together to celebrate an anniversary. So how does this parable fit in with the theme of an anniversary? Well, an anniversary is a celebration of an event, and then how it has had lasting results extending over the years. A birthday, for example, is the anniversary of when you were born. It's an important part of your identity. Independence Day is an anniversary of our nation's beginnings. Couples celebrate their wedding anniversaries. Churches celebrate anniversaries, too. Like they might celebrate an anniversary of when the congregation was founded. Like, for example, thinking back to St. James Lutheran Church, which was in Golden, their church was founded 81 years ago. So, you know, that's something quite remarkable. Celebrate building projects, too. Now, those of you who are members of St. Paul Evangelical Lutheran Church, Lakewood, Colorado, who are you? Many of you were members of St. James out in Golden. Others were members of St. Luke's over in Denver. Since then, others have also joined the congregation. We do, however, want to have an identity that goes beyond having our name on a membership list or a brick and mortar building. Now, let's return to our parable, specifically to Lazarus. How did he get an identity and a life that are everlasting? It was, as Jesus said, through Moses and the prophets. In other words, through the Holy Scriptures. Now, we don't know the backstory of Lazarus. We don't know how he came to be in such poverty. We don't know how he came to be so frail, but what we do know, by virtue of the fact that he was carried by angels into heaven and that Abraham recognized him as a fellow child of God, That indicates that Lazarus had been taught the Holy Scriptures, that the Holy Spirit had generated a saving faith in his heart, and that he had placed his trust in the Lord, his Savior. Abraham believed God, and that faith was counted to him for righteousness. It was by faith that Abraham was called a child of God. That identity was given to Abraham by grace alone. And then, later on, Jesus, when he's talking about, you know, people so often in his day would refer to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and Jesus made it very clear, he's not the God of the dead. He's the God of the living. They're still alive and well to this day. And Galatians 3:9 says, those who have faith are blessed with Abraham, the father of faith, a man of faith. So even though Lazarus experienced excruciating, difficult life, he trusted in the same God, in the same promises that Abraham put his trust in. Both Abraham and Lazarus possessed identities that superseded everything else they possessed in this world. From that crystal clear perspective that the Lord gives us, we know that Lazarus would have never traded for anything the rich man had, because that was going to disappear. Its worth would become worthless. What he had was greater than anything else in this world. Those identities were bestowed on them by God through Moses and the prophets, through God's word. Those identities will never dim, and they will never fail. But how can God's word, the Holy Scriptures, the Bible, bestow identities like that? It's because the one who stands behind what the Bible says guarantees it. What's his identity? Well, he's Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. That's how the superscription on his cross identified him. It was because of what he accomplished on the cross, which then was, then the ultimate of that was proclaimed when he said, "It is finished." That was when he acquired the full authority to change your identity from lost to found, from dead to alive. He accomplished that for us by losing his identity. He had been God's beloved son in whom he was well pleased. He went from that to being a nobody, completely cut off from God. God turned his back on him, forsaken. He endured that. He endured losing his identity in order to give us an identity that will never end. So today we have come together to celebrate, the heritage of God's word, which the fathers and the mothers who have gone before us have given to us. And today we celebrate the gift that God has given to us with this marvelous house of worship. What an awesome place. The setting is wonderful, and the message even more so, more gorgeous, more beautiful. And we've come together to celebrate the everlasting identity that God has given to his beloved children. So for all of these things and much more, we praise and thank him now and forever. And all of God's people said, Amen. Please rise. Now take a moment to share with you thoughts and prayer that I have from my beloved sisters and brothers of St. Paul's, based upon what's written in Philippians chapter 1, beginning at verse 2. I thank my God every time I remember you. Every time I pray for all of you, I always pray with joy. Because of your fellowship in the gospel, from the first day until now, I am convinced of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until Christ Jesus comes again. I am equally convinced that it is right for me to think this way about all of you, because I have you in my heart. Yes, God is my witness of how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. And I pray that your love may still increase more and more in knowledge and every insight. This will result in your approval of the things that really matter, so that you will be pure and blameless for the day of Christ when he comes again, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. And may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep our hearts, keep our minds, in Christ Jesus. Amen. Please be seated.
Thank you.
I invite you to stand for prayer. Praise, glory, and honor be to you, Lord Jesus, that you have been pleased to establish your church in this place in which for 20 years we've been permitted to hear your holy word and celebrate your sacraments. Here you've blessed your people with your presence and caused your face to shine upon them. We praise you for showing us the way of salvation, for warning and arousing us when our souls were imperiled, for comforting us with heavenly consolations when sin and trouble weighed down our hearts, and for giving us a foretaste of eternal life. We praise you for every gracious coming into a human heart, for children whom you received as your own through baptism, in whom you instructed in the saving teachings of your word, for all whose burden of sin you removed and whose feet you guided upon the way of life, for all whose doubts you dispelled and whose prayers you heard and answered. We implore you this day to continue your mercies to us. Preserve among us the precious treasure of your word. Give us at all times godly teachers who, as faithful stewards of your mysteries, will feed your flock with all that is needful for salvation. Give to this congregation, to young and old, hearing ears and open and willing hearts, that we may hear your word gladly and accept it with joy. Make your word in us a well of living water to refresh our souls and to spring up into eternal life. Seal your word in our hearts by the witness of your Spirit. Enable us to grow in the knowledge of your Son, to increase in faith and love, so that Christ may be more and more formed in us, and we may at last obtain the crown of eternal life. Lord Jesus, whose promise to preserve your church on earth to the end of days, let this church be a light shining to many, a city and a hill that cannot be hidden. Make it a testimony and witness to those who are without, so that sinners may be converted to you and many more may come and with us receive the promised inheritance. Abide, O dearest Jesus, among us with your grace, your word, your light, your blessing, your protection, and your love, that we may be prepared to enter finally into the great jubilee in the church triumphant, the new Jerusalem above. Grant this for your love's sake. Amen. We also join to pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Then lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Please be seated, and the choir may come forward for the singing of our second anthem. And once again, we're reminded that congregation is invited to join in on the last two stanzas of this hymn on the blue insert.
Rumble as fires in air.
Please stand for the closing benediction. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide with you all.